This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Invest Talk. We're promoting every day. Every day we talk about above-average investing for the average investor, how to achieve that. Don't need to fall into the traps that snag average investors, cause them to make money losing mistakes. You're never going to be right all the time. No one is right all the time. All we can do is at least educate you. All of us understand what drives the market, what drives stock prices, and just be better. Just be better at what. You're never going to be right 100% of the time. It's just not possible. All experts are not. Warren Buffett even makes mistakes. Trust me. Everybody does. But, you know, you want to invest with knowledge. So we're here for any questions you might have. There's no reason to let the hour go by without asking the question that's been bugging you or on your mind. The lines are open. Beginner questions, experienced investors, I don't care. Any questions as long as it's financial. So as we wrap up this week, what can we say about it? And with the holiday season approaching, retailers have been upbeat about prospects this holiday season. Maybe they too think the consumer has more money to spend. Of course, producing 200,000 jobs a month for a year is a good reason for the retailers to feel that way. Those jobs are not high paying, everybody, and a lot of them are part-time. But still, growth in jobs is growth in jobs. It's good. It's just not great. In a recent Wall Street Journal article, it pointed out that we have almost twice as many part-time workers than we've had averaged over the last 10 years. So there's a lot of part-time workers out there. That's not a good situation. And they also speculated whether that was a cyclical problem or a structural problem. Cyclical meaning it will be worked out as jobs growth and the job market tightens and those people get full-time jobs. But if it's a structural problem, that means the system is going to just produce that kind of work. That's going to be very, very difficult for certain workers to survive. So economic dynamics come into play when you're planning your investing strategy, everybody, and you got to think about in the coming months. Are you adding stocks to your portfolio or staying defensive? Are you taking profits? Are you producing cash? Are you investing your cash? If you want to talk about it, give me a call. Now let's go to the phones. Our line is always open. Here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
I'm from Walnut Creek. I have a question. When selecting a financial advisor, how important is it that they have audited track records? And who is the auditor that performs these audits? And how often do they occur or should they occur? Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Almost all registered financial advisors are not audited. Every mutual fund is. Isn't that interesting? Why is that the case? Well, a mutual fund has only one account. It's a mutual fund. It only has one account, okay? So the auditing of those returns are pretty simple, and it's required by the SEC. A registered investment advisor, money manager, he has however many number of accounts he has, okay? And everybody could be different. Not everybody has the same goals and not the same holdings. Now, I do it a little bit differently. I have certain programs that everybody in those programs do the exact same thing. But no one gets audited because even if you had a program where everybody did the exact same thing and you had 200 clients or 500 clients, whatever it is, each individual client would have to be audited. No registered investment advisor would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. A mutual fund would, and they have to anyways, but it's a lot easier. It's just one account, one. You know, you own the mutual fund, and it buys and sells stocks inside that one mutual fund. That's it. whereas a registered investment advisor. So don't ever think you're going to find audited financials or registered investment advisor. You will not. They don't do that. I know some big registered investment advisors, $1 billion size. And they don't get theirs audited. It's rare. Mutual funds do, and you'll see. I've heard advertising kind of misleading a little bit about how, well, our accounts are audited. Well, are your accounts audited, or is just your mutual funds that you're holding audited, not your specific accounts? And so they buy you a mutual fund, and that mutual fund is audited. But the returns of the manager, registered investment advisor, is not. I have not seen one anyways. Maybe they're out there, but I've never seen one. This hour, we're going to talk about why some say that you should invest cautiously, despite all the talk about the mother of all bull runs. Keep a leash on the bull. Be reasonable. You have to think about this. That's one of our talking points. Also, Germany dodges recession in their third quarter. I got to talk about this. I mean, I can't let this go. Germany, and there's a reason why I'm even talking about Germany and Europe and the EU. So is the rest of the EU, are they going to fall in recession or not? We're going to talk about that. Americans cannot afford to live in almost all their major cities. Why? What's the problem there? U.S. oil boom. You know that oil prices have been falling sharply, down about 30-35%. Is our oil boom about the bust? Those are the things I'm going to discuss today, everybody. Unless you call and you want to talk about something first, be happy to do that. Let's go to Tom in San Francisco. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I thank you for your call.
I would like to ask about long, short equity funds.
I've heard
a little about that lately.
For everybody else, what Tom is asking about is a mutual fund that goes long and a mutual fund that goes short, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're talking about a fund that goes short and long.
Yes.
There's not too many of them out there, but I kind of like them because you're giving the manager a lot of flexibility. So if something disastrous happens, he can play the market on the downside. You're buying a mutual fund which is allowing the mutual fund manager to short the market. And for everybody else, shorting the market means that you make money if the market goes down. You make money if that particular stock goes down that you're shorting. Long means you make money when the stock price goes up. So if you have a short, long mutual fund, you're letting that guy decide whether he wants to be long, short, or both. And if he's both, he's straddling the market. He's not sure what direction the market's going to go. So you can short really bad stocks and go long really good stocks, and you can make money both ways. But generally, I'll say this. Generally, the market, if it goes in a particular direction, if it's going up, the shorts don't work and the longs work. If it's going down, the shorts work and the longs don't, generally speaking. Tom, there's really not much difference in their management fees and so on and so forth. It's pretty much the same. Also, usually on these long short funds, you're allowing them to go to cash when they want to.
In general, then, are these more risky because they've got shorts in them?
They would be considered more risky, Tom. I don't consider them more risky, but the SEC does consider them more risky because shorting the market is more risky. Why is it more risky? Because if you short a stock, to get out of a short is the act of buying. And if the stock goes up that you're shorting, it can go up forever. And you could lose infinite amounts of money. That's why they consider it more risky. Now, of course, what manager in his right mind will let it do that? But still, that's the possibility. And if you go long, the most you can lose is all your money. Go down to zero. So it's less risky. To me, that's kind of a silly argument. But the SEC considers them more risky, Tom. In fact, I think if you did the statistics, I think you'd find they're less risky. But they're considered more risky by most people.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
Did you get your dose of Steve today? Steve Peasley's market commentary can't always put things right in the market, but it can put things into perspective. They're for you every morning on InvestTalk.com.
888-99 chart, at new highs, Apple only starting to ripen. What factors tell you it's time to sell a stock now? Is Apple time to sell or time to buy? Do you have questions on how to measure risk? Talk about any of those things. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on you? What do you want to talk about? Do you know what the biggest bull market has been this year? Where? It's been in India. Have you taken a look at Indian stocks? I think they're up like 37% this year. About 37%. Huge bull market in India. Why? Has their economy done so well? Not necessarily. Some of the factors they've had is, you know, is that the it's political because Moby, I think is his name. Is that the new Narendra Modi, M-O-D-I, Modi. It's kind of seen as a pro-business prime minister. And the thinking is that he'll finally loosen up some of the restraints on the economy and let foreigners invest and do certain things that wasn't there before. Inflation has fallen. So there's oil prices have gone down, industrial production is up, all kinds of good things are happening in India. But does that mean you go into India now after it's been up 37%? Look what happened in our market last year when it was up 22, 25%. I don't remember exactly, but in the 20s, right? Not there this year. This year, I mean, the S&P is up nicely. I mean, you know what, 8, 10% this year? But the Russell 2000 isn't. It's flat, maybe up a little bit now, pretty much flat. The overall market is not that strong this year for us. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, whenever you have a market that shoots way up in 1 year, it's not uncommon for it to keep going, but it does slow down, and it's ripe for big corrections. And we haven't had one this year. Even though we had a big market rise last year, we had a 10% correction happen in October, and all that was made up in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, that 10% correction was made up in October. Very unusual. So do you go chase the Indians? I'm talking about India in India. Do you go chase that market after such a big? All I'm saying is when you have big bull markets, when everything looks good and everybody's complacent about it, everybody's happy, and all they can say is good things about something, that's not the time to go chase that market. That's your biggest risk, is everybody's overconfidence. When everybody feels confident, that means all the investors are in. They've invested everything they have. And now, remember, markets only go up when new money comes in, keeps pushing it up. Something has to happen to keep pushing it up. And when you're all in and everybody's riding the wave up, you still have to have people pushing from behind you to ride that wave up. And that's always the risk. Now, when do you get off the ride? Boy, that is such a tough question. That is such a tough question. Some people don't even worry about it. Just don't think about it. Wait 10, 20 years and you'll be fine. And those people are correct. You have that much time, 10, 20 years, then don't worry about it. Listen on top. Let's go. Tune out. You can listen to us on TuneIn Radio app right now. iPhone, Android. Go to investtalk.com.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Now more Invest Talk. Bring your money question to Steve. One way to diversify your portfolio in an instant is to use ETFs. Do you have questions about exchange-traded funds? Ask Steve about it. He's here for you, 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, the world of investing gets more complex every day. We spend every day studying the possibilities. I mean, I do that, and the pitfalls, I do it every day. Taking a look at what's going on out there. If you have a question, we're ready to hear from you. 888-99-CHART. If you're listening to our podcast when we're not live, remember we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you can still get your question to me. Same number, 888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Todd in Lakeside. How you doing, Todd?
Oh, good, Steve. How about yourself?
Good. How's it out there in Lakeside?
It's a good deal. Like good. It.
Yep, it's a nice area.
You know, Steve, I had a couple of questions, but for one thing, I guess I'm struggling a little bit on trying to figure out the value of stocks.
How to project the value of a stock?
Yes.
Okay, this is how you do it. I'm going to give you two methods, Todd, and none of these methods are perfect, so don't always think they're perfect. They're not.
Right.
One method is good for medium-sized companies, not too good for really large companies and not too good for really small companies, but in the middle, the bulk of the companies out there. You use the earnings per share estimates for next year, and you multiply that times the growth rate of the earnings per share. So let's say the earnings per share this year is $1, and the earnings per share next year is $1.20. That's a 20% growth rate, right?
Okay.
You take that 20, multiply it times $1.20, okay, and that gives you a projected price for that stock. Now, if the stock is selling below that amount, that's what you want. If it's selling above that amount, it might be overpriced. Now, it doesn't work for very large companies because they don't grow very much.
Okay.
Now, it can be if the company was just beat up to smithereens price-wise, and they're only growing 8%, let's say. You know, let's say they're Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola can grow, what, 10% a year maybe? And Microsoft. These big, huge companies can't grow. But if they get beat up enough, the valuations will work. Now, the other good way to use, okay,
hang on, let me back you up for a second, though. You say the earnings per share for this year and next year, is that all four quarters combined? Average?
Yes.
Okay.
All the four quarters, the whole year. How much is the whole year going to be worth?
Okay.
And the other method is look at the P.E. ratio range for the target company you're looking at for the last 5 years. And let's just say the range is 10 to 30. Then you take next year's earnings per share, multiply that times 10, and then also multiply it times 30, and then you get the range of the price of the stock should trade at. And if it's at the very low end of the range or below that end of the range, that's a buy.
Okay.
Now you just look at a chart and decide where you want to buy it.
Right. I'll have to play around with that one a little bit.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is Invest Talk on radio and investtalk.com. Our listener line is open 24/7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5 or the playback anytime on investtalk.com.
Let's go to Lloyd in San Diego. How are you doing, Lloyd?
Pretty good. I've been thinking a lot about unrealistic expectations of retirement lately. Like I have $150,000 in my company's pension plan.
Yes.
And I have $130,000 in my 401k.
Okay.
Now, from my understanding is if I left my company right now at the age of 50, I have to do something with that pension. I can either let them maintain it or I have to move that money somewhere.
Right.
But I can't touch that till I believe I'm the age of 62.
The smartest thing usually, Lloyd, is to take it out of there, roll it over into an IRA, and then you manage or you hire somebody to manage it. Usually that's the smartest thing. Many times they'll try to talk you into an annuity and annuitize it.
Right.
And I never like that idea. I think the expenses are too much. Costs are too high. And then you're stuck. Whatever it is, it is. You don't have any freedom whatsoever. My personal preference would be to roll it over an IRA. And that's what? It comes to about $280,000 for you total?
Right.
What you need to do is think in these terms, 7% to 10% return in the stock market. okay? If you want to maintain your lifestyle and not touch the principal, figure out what 7 to 10% on $280,000 is, and there's your money.
That's what my stocks are doing in my 401k. That's about the average return I've been getting on a quarter on those. They've been doing pretty good.
Okay, that's good. If it's on a quarter bit, that's pretty good.
So I'm thinking about leaving the San Diego area and moving to an area where living is a lot less.
Well, that's what my parents did. They went to outside of Tucson. Loved it, by the way. It was desert, but I didn't like it. But they loved it. And the house value here compared to there, they had tons of extra money.
Right.
So then they lived off that money plus a retirement. It worked out fine for them.
That's not too bad to think that way then?
No, that's a good way to think. If you don't mind moving out of the Southern California area and buying someplace that's half the price, man, I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Thanks, Lloyd.
All right. Thank you.
888-99-CHARTER is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. With markets near all-time highs, it's prudent to focus on fundamentals so that you do not chase after equities that are too richly valued. Do you have questions about fundamental analysis? How do you know if something's overvalued or undervalued? We just talked about Rackspace. Is it overvalued? Well, yeah. But do you sell it just because it's overvalued? Not necessarily. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. I'm here to answer any of your money questions. You can call us now at 888-99-CHART.
Continue with InvestTalk. You're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now, 888-99-CHART. You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Anything of interest that in the financial world? How about this? What happened in Germany? We know the EU, all those 17 countries or whatever they are, looks like they're falling into recession. And Germany's previous quarter, they just came out with quarterly report, the most recent quarter numbers out today. But the previous quarter, they shrunk by 0.1%. They went from growth to shrinkage. So now this quarter, remember the official definition of a recession is two quarters in a row of shrinkage. So we were kind of interested to see what the numbers would be coming out of Germany. They released them today. And just so you know, Germany accounts for about 28% of the total economic output for the Eurozone. 28%, one country. Well, they didn't shrink. They grew 0.1%. So the first quarter, the quarter before that, they shrank 0.1%. This quarter, they grew. They're not in recession. Yay! Okay. 0.1%. You need to have at least two quarters in a row of GDP shrinkage. And they didn't. France, which is another big economy, not nearly as big as Germany, they actually grew 0.3%. 0.3%. So, is the Eurozone, you certainly can't say everything's fine because we don't really know how deep the sanctions will be against Russia and what that will do. And you just wonder, what if they didn't have the sanction, what this previous quarter would have been? Would have been better? Probably. But that's what's going on. The biggest countries in the Eurozone look like they're doing, I don't want to say okay because that's not okay, but they're not falling into recession yet. And they're not doing a lot about it to try to keep themselves out. So think about that. Mike and Santee, how you doing?
I wanted to get your opinion. My wife and I just had our first child about 20 days ago, and I am looking into some kind of college saving plan. I'm trying to weigh a 529, just like a regular investment account.
Okay, there's also what's called a Coverdell. Have you heard those yet?
No, I haven't.
There's what's called the Coverdell. They used to be called the Education IRA, but now they call them Coverdells. So there's the 529 and the Coverdells. Those are the two tax-deferred college saving plans that you have to choose from. Now let's go over the difference real fast. A 529 is sponsored by a particular state. You can go to any state. You can, from California, you can buy an Illinois 529 plan. You can buy a California 529 plan. And each state has its own 529 plan. The good thing about a 529 plan is you can put a lot of money away.
Uh-huh.
A lot. You know, if you make more and more money going forward, you can put more and more money away. The bad thing about a 529 plan, it can only be used for an accredited college.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, a Coverdell, you can put up to like $3,500 a year. There's a maximum, okay? It changes every year, but I think it's $3,500, maybe $4,000 per year.
Okay.
The good thing about that is it's much more flexible. It doesn't have to go to college. Let's say when your little child gets, goes to elementary school, you want to send them to private school. Let's say you want to do that. Well, you can use that Coverdell for private schooling. You can also use it to buy a computer, books, other things for education, not just tuition.
Okay.
You see, so there's a little bit more flexible in the Coverdell, but you can't put as much money away.
Okay, well, those are the two options. I appreciate the input on that.
Good luck, Mike, and congratulations. Boy or girl?
Girl.
God, boy, that's what I wanted. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Call.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. And we're going to go talk to Noel in San Francisco. How you doing, Noel?
I'm doing good. I wanted to see what you thought of iBonds. I'm looking at a lot of different investment opportunities, but I thought that'd be a conservative spot, and I kind of expect inflation to kick up its heels in the future. I don't see how it couldn't. But
I like iBonds, Noel, for your conservative money. I think that's a lot better place than money market. You're going to make a lot more money there, and
yeah.
It would always to keep up with inflation, which is, you can't say that about a CD.
Yeah, it's beautiful, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good place to put some money that you want to protect. You don't want to take too much risk with it. I-bonds, everybody's inflation-protected bonds, or U.S. government treasury. And what happens, they have two parts to them. One part of the yield you get is fixed, okay? And so they add those two together, those two parts, inflation and base. And they add those two together. And every 6 months, the inflation part gets reset based on the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. So if inflation goes up, your yield goes up. If inflation goes down, your yield goes down. I'll tell you this, Noel, I think inflation's going to be a problem. The only way I see it becoming a problem, really, is if jobs start to get created. So
yeah.
Inflation's going to be kind of tame. On the other side of the coin, you've got the commodity part, and I think we're going to see inflation in commodities even without the job creation, because the demand worldwide on the commodities are going to push prices up.
Yes.
But inflation really can't get a hold until we see some job creation. Therefore, I don't think it's going to fall at all, that inflation part of that
I-bond. Right, I agree.
I think it can only go up. I don't think it can fall.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I think it's a great place. Noel, you got my permission. I think it's great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Noel. Mark and Burke, how you doing, Mark?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
Quick question. What would you recommend investors' emerging market portion of the total equity? And then getting back to valuations, what's the historic relative valuation between the U.S. and emerging markets? You just mentioned some P.E. levels. I'm just curious how that relates to historic average.
Historically, the emerging market P.E.s are much less than ours because they deserve it. Because in history, they're very suspect in their numbers. Okay, so everybody wants better numbers, in our markets. They're scary. That's changing a little bit in recent history. And Peter, I think about 20 to 30% should have foreign exposure in your portfolio. 20 to 30% of your overall portfolio. But Mark, that does not mean you should have that much in foreign stocks. For instance, if you bought Yum Brand and about a third of Yum Brand's profits are coming from outside the United States, well, there's a foreign exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of exposure needs to be added into your overall exposure.
Do you guys break it down that specifically, like per company exposure, or do you have a rough target of your individual positions that are traded outside the?
We actually do break it down by our individual company's exposure, and we, of course, we own ADRs, which are American Depository Shares. In other words, foreign stocks that trade on our American exchanges, because they have to report using general accounting principles like ours. So they have, it's harder for them to cheat. They still can cheat.
Yeah.
And trust me, Mark, they do cheat.
But, great, thanks.
But, you need to have some exposure because that's where the growth is. Growth. Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you very much. Time for InvestTalk 101, how to succeed in any market. Both bear markets and bull markets represent tremendous opportunities to make money, right? We all know that. And the key to success is to use strategies and ideas that can generate profits under a variety of conditions. Sometimes it's very difficult. It's not always easy. Ways to profit in a bear market? Well, a bear market is defined as a drop of 20% or more of the stock market indexes. Has that happened? No. We haven't seen that since 2011. And even then it was about 19% in the summer of 2011. We just recently had a 10% correction, not almost quite in the, I'm talking about the major indexes. So, if the market's going to fall, there are things you can do, even in IRAs. You can buy a short ETF fund, meaning that you can short, let's say, the NASDAQ 100. And you can buy an ETF that goes down just the exact same amount as the index, underlying index, goes up, or one that goes down. You can do the inverse, okay? So if you think the market's going to fall, you can buy an ETF that will go up exactly the same amount as it fall. There's also leveraged ones that go up more than that. And that's why in a bear market, you could use these ETFs, or you can even hedge your portfolio if you're worried or if you just don't want to take as much risk, but you don't want to sell your really good stocks you own, because you don't want a tax consequence, or maybe you want to hedge off a risk, well, you can buy a short ETF index. You can protect yourself. There's ways to do that. So you can also do the same thing on the other side. There's ETFs that go up with the market. And, you know, just know that there's ways to protect yourself. There are ways. You can do it with options. You can do different things. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. If you have a question about this topic, you can see more in-depth information on investopedia.com. Or you're welcome to bring it here to InvestTalk with a question. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, and we're ready for your call right now.
Here's an idea that your boss might think is a winner. There's a way that your company can save time, effort, and liability, and at the same time, give you better choices and investment management. Tell your boss or HR person about KPP Financial's 401k solution. If you go to investtalk.com now and click on Contact Justin and write in 401k, you'll receive via email a packet of information that you can show your boss, and you just might score some points.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. U.S. oil boom. We are producing 9 million barrels now a day. 9 million barrels a day. And that last time we produced that much was in 1983. Okay, 9 million barrels a day. 1983, you had to go all the way back then to equal that. And when do you think this oil boom of ours, when did we start pumping more and more oil out to get this boom? When do you think it started? Well, it started in 2010. That's when we were doing 5 million barrels a day then. And this is all about fracking, people. All about fracking. And that's why gasoline prices are going down. We have lots of oil. You know, I know everybody doesn't like fracking. I know a lot of people complain about fracking, and I'm not sure why. But everybody whines about fracking, and it's really a good thing. It's very good for our society, very good for our economy. Why do you think oil prices are down 30% so far this year? It's all because of supply. It's supply and demand. Supply is outstripped demand. And we have great supply. We are now the third largest producer in the world. Right behind Saudi Arabia. We're going to pass them up pretty soon. And Russia's number one, in case you're interested. And OPEC represents about 30 to 40% of all oil production in the world. Are they going to cut production? See, the OPEC, people have this vision that they're really a monopoly kind of entity. And they are, kind of. But the problem is they can't control their members. Because each member wants more money. They need, therefore, pump more oil. The only person that really controls this production that they in OPEC is Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia would like to get, you know, when fracking is expensive, and anything below $80, this is going to make supply start to slow down in our fracking. And maybe Saudi Arabia wants to keep pumping oil to drive some of that supply out, making oil cheap because they can afford it. Make oil cheap for a while, drive out of business some of those fracking entities, close some of those wells up, and then they can raise the price again. Now, of course, they're going to try to do that, I think. But how they do it, I don't know. You know, we'll see. But isn't it nice? Think about this. Think about the freedom it gives us not to be so dependent on Middle Eastern oil. I think that's a good idea. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you think? What do you think of that idea? I kind of like fracking. I know a lot of people don't, and they think it pollutes a lot of air stuff. And, you know, there's been recent studies that it's not nearly as bad as people, the fearmongers, tell you it is. They use mostly water and sand in fracking. There's some chemicals, but they're pretty much typical household chemicals, not like what you think. We've got a good 10 minutes left in the hour. Why not ask the question you've been saving up? There's a line open for you right now, 888-99-CHART. Do you have a question about one of our topics or a call we answered before and you want a clarification? You can call 888-992-4278. On InvestTalk.com, you'll see a big blue box with each day's talking point topic. There's the topic and description. You'll see it right there. And it's after the day's program. You can click on the Play Now button and hear the program played back to you. You can hear the whole program. We save a number of these programs. I think it's like 10 days worth. I'm not sure. And you can listen to them and go back and whenever you want. Or you can download the podcasting. Listen to it whenever you want. 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's answer one more question before we're done for the hour. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime you want.
Hi, this is Amos from St. Louis. I listen on podcasts, And my question is, I have a small self-directed brokerage account with only a couple holdings, kind of a rainy day fund. And I'm looking to move into a new position, buy into a new position. And with the market seeming to be up all around, I'm just kind of curious, what are some of the key numbers to be watching as I'm looking through? You know, earnings per share, price to earnings, not really dividend yields, but if I'm comparing two companies of the same sector and I'm thinking of placing a limit order to buy as it moves down, maybe what are some of the key financial indicators that I should be looking at to know which company is probably going to be better buy over the other? Thank you.
Well, that's very interesting because we had those kind of numbers in our newsletter that came out today in portfolio management section. Return on equity is important. We'd like to see 17% or higher, but be careful. If they have a lot of debt, the return on equity may not be what you think it is. Be careful if you're in banks. They carry a lot of debt, and then the return on equity might be distorted. But it's important. Earnings yield is very important. Earnings growth, not just earnings, but the growth. So we like what was the GPE, growth to the price earnings ratio, of earnings. We like to see that at least twice as much, but it's hard to get some of these numbers all to match up. And look at your margins. What are the profit margins? Net margins, are they expanding over the last year or two or shrinking? A lot of this information you can get at Morningstar.com. You can get it at MarketWatch or Yahoo Finance. You get a lot of this information. But those are the kinds of numbers that you have to start looking at. You have to understand those numbers and how they relate and compare them with other companies. And you're correct. You want to always compare them with companies in the sector, okay, in its own sector. You don't compare bank stocks with tech stocks. You don't. It's apples to apples to find out which one's the best in that sector. Good question, though.
Managing multiple mutual funds, researching professional services, where to put your savings. If it's about money and if it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
Jack in Concord, how you doing, Jack?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I have a question. I'm seeing my financial advisor in about a week. Now, I've been seeing this guy for several years. He doesn't charge. And what he does is he advises, hoping that when you do retire, you'll invest your money with him, and he'll manage your retirement account.
Yes.
So I'm getting pretty close to retirement now, and one of the things that kind of struck me, been listening to you, is what sort of questions should I be asking this fellow around how he manages the money, or what sort of investments does he invest in to get a sense of whether or not it's a good deal?
Very good question, Jack. Appreciate that. Well, besides asking for 1, 3, and 5 year performance, because you need to ask that, what's your performance? And then you compare that performance with the overall market. At the very least, he needs to be matching the market. He actually should outperform if he's going to get paid. And that's net after his fees. So you'll want to see those numbers. He should be able to talk to him. Then what you want to do is say, well, if he's putting in stocks, you want to see what his stock picks are. And then take a list of them with you and then see how they've done in the last 1, 3 years. Okay?
All right.
And then you want to ask him like questions like, what kind of risk does he take? How much money, percentage-wise, of my portfolio would you buy in any one stock? If he says he'll buy 10, 15, 20%, he's a very high-risk player.
Very
high. It should be 3%, around 3%. It could be 4, it could be 5, it could be 2, but around 3%. And you might want to ask him, well, what does he think of the international market? If he's not too keen on international market, that tells me that he's not looking at the future. He's not looking forward. Just ask the question, what do you think about the rest of the world, the international market? Will we be taking advantage of that? Do you take advantage of that? How do you do it? Ask those kinds of questions.
Oh, great.
And if you want more detailed information, Jack, you can email me at investtalk.com, and I'll give you a list of questions you should ask. But these are the questions that people should ask me.
All right, I appreciate it.
Okay, Jack, appreciate the call.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck. I'd love to manage your money, too, so I'll answer the same questions. Jack, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.